Well, I don't know how many of you read the Vail Voice. It is a newspaper that is here local to Vail. Sometimes it comes in the mailbox, and sometimes you can get it at Walgreens or whatever. But it's supposed to have all the comings and goings and happenings in Vail. And yesterday, I was looking on the website of the Vail Voice, and would you not believe it? But they said that according to good sources, the Safeway is going to go in at the end of this year, or maybe next year. So don't all hold your breath, but it's coming. You know, the Safeway right up the street. I mean, how many of you really believe the Safeway is going to happen in the next 10 years? I mean, I heard when we bought the house in 2007, Safeway is coming in 2008. No, it's coming in 2009. No, 2010. By 2011, there'll be a Safeway. And then people come up to me, don't they realize that if they put in that Safeway, it would be like the number one selling Safeway in the whole universe. And there would be people, because we don't have any food stores around here, and I would shop there, and I would, and don't they know that it would be a great thing, and what's wrong with Safeway, and they're idiots, and I can't believe they're not building this thing yet, and they say all sorts of crazy things. But folks, we don't know when the Safeway's coming. And if you believe that it's going to start construction 2011 or 2012 or 2013, come talk to me, because I have some land I want to give you to sell. I know human nature. And maybe the older I get, the more cynical I get. But the more older I get and the more cynical I get, I'm beginning to think that people will say and do almost anything just to kind of forward their own interests. And I would say that any organization that wants to build a food store in our neighborhood might be the same way, because they're filled up with people just like you and me, and they will do anything to further their own interests. And that has a lot to do with today's little story out of Joshua 9, because you'll remember 2 weeks ago we conquered, Joshua had conquered Jericho, and then last week they conquered Ai, and now they're on a roll, and now they're going to start conquering a bunch of the different kingdoms, and all the kings are like, wait a minute, something's going on here. And we're going to join together, and we're going to fight Joshua and his army, but not the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites decide that it is better to go and make a treaty with Israel than it is to fight Israel. And so they're going to go, and they're going to make a treaty with Israel. The problem is that God had said, no treaties. You're going to fight. You're going to conquer the land. This is going to be your land. You're going to annihilate everything in the land. It is going to be your pure and holy land. No treaties. And the Gibeonites must have figured this out, because they decide that they're going to do a ruse to Israel. So they put old, moldy bread, you know, like your grandma had sometimes in the bread cabinet, or old, moldy food and wineskins that were old, and they pile it on. They get on these old clothes, and they walk into the camp as if they've been traveling hundreds of miles, but the fact is they'd only been traveling a short distance because they lived in the promised land. And they tried to convince Joshua that they should make a treaty. And Joshua does make a treaty against God's will. It was a dumb thing to do. But he did it because Joshua, like you and me, have a human nature, and there were some things that they did that appealed to Joshua's human nature that made Joshua, in a weak moment, sign a treaty with the Gibeonites. And we're going to talk about that. There's three things that I see in today's passages that they did that they probably shouldn't have done. And we're just going to really quickly go through those. First of all, from verse 6, we'll put up verse 6, and you can read along with me. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." Now, folks, that is a bald-faced lie. They did not come from a distant treaty. They just lied to say that they had, because they wanted a treaty with Joshua. And, folks, there are people out there that you know that will lie to further their own interests, no matter what the cost. Now, we as Christians, we are called by God to be honest people. The truth, you know, shall set you free. Jesus Christ said, speak the truth in love. Jesus Christ is all about the truth. Christianity is all about the truth. You and I live under God's guidance. We're supposed to say the right things. We're not supposed to lie to people and deceive people. But folks, let me tell you, there are people out there that will, all the time. They don't care what the truth is because they're not going to speak the truth. All they care about is what's expedient for them, what gets them the farthest along in life. Now, when we lived in Denver, there was a house next door to us that was owned by 30 Baptist churches in the Denver area. And the purpose of this house was that when missionaries would come from the mission field, they would live in this house. And we got to know and to meet and to love some really incredible people. And there was this one man who had some medical issues, so he was coming out of the mission field, and he and his wife were settling down in Colorado. And I was talking to him, and I was asking him, what's the most difficult thing that you encountered in the mission field? And I was expecting a lot of answers, but I was not expecting the answer that he gave me. What he told me was, the hardest thing for me is that the country I have been missionary to for several years, I think he'd been there for like 20 years, does not believe in telling the truth. As a matter of fact, in this culture of this country, if you lie, and if you're sneaky, and if you get away with it, that's considered to be an honorable thing. He says, and because I was not raised that way, because that is not who I am, it's been very, very difficult for me because I won't tell a lie. And people know that I won't tell a lie. That makes it easier for them to be sneaky against me because they know that I'll always tell the truth. But they don't care about the truth. The truth is a foreign concept to them. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear in order that they can further themselves. And if they get away with it, then that's supposed to be like the highest thing, the highest cultural thing that can happen in that culture. Now think about what it would be like to live like that. How difficult it would be. And yet, folks, I think here in the United States, we have a subculture of people who could care less what the truth is. If they're not living by Christian values or living knowing that there is a God that punishes us when we do the wrong thing, if all they're living for is today and what they do today and what they say today has no implication on what happens in the future, they're going to tell you lies. And there are a lot of people in our culture, a lot of people in a subculture that will tell you anything you want to hear as long as they can get forward in life. This really hit home with me once a long time ago. I mean, it's amazing. I still remember it. But I was studying engineering at Arizona State University. You may all boo. Okay, get it over with because every time I mention my alma mater, I get the boos. But that's all right. So, not the boos, the boos. B-O-O/S. All right, boos. All right, so, although that's not a bad, no. So I was in an engineering class. It was called Physics 101, and the professor had been teaching this class for about 400 years. And he had this little acetate thing that he would roll, and the lectures would just build from one end of the acetate to the other end of the acetate. And he would sit there, and he would go through these notes so rapidly that you couldn't possibly get them down all the time. And so we're sitting here trying to write as furiously as we could. We had textbooks of chapters of physics books we had to read, and then he gave us these tests. And the tests were supposed to be on the notes and the textbook. They weren't. I don't know what planet that he came from for these tests, but there was absolutely nothing in any of the stuff that was coming from these tests. And so we would study, and we'd get in groups, and I would study and get in groups, and we'd take the test, and he graded on the curve, which means that even if you did really well, if there were a lot of people that did better than you, you got like a B or a C or a D or an F, and you had to get a D or better in this class to pass. So I'm taking these tests, and, you know, the test would come back, and I'd get like a C minus, you know, and I'm excited about that because I didn't fail. But then the person next to me gets an A plus 100%. And it's like, how is this possible? And so, you know, I take the test again. The next test comes back. It's 100%. And it wasn't until a couple years later that I found out that this particular professor, his tests never changed, and they were freely available to anybody that lived on campus. And so the vast majority of the people that lived on campus had access to that test. They just simply learned the answer to that test, and they did very well. People like me that had no access to these tests, didn't even know they existed, praise God, because I don't know what I'd have done, but we ended up taking tests and losing points and potentially getting kicked out of engineering school because of it. That's the culture that we live in. How do we deal with that as Christians? How do we deal with a culture that is so dramatically different from us? Well, one of the things that you need to know is that God doesn't want you to lie and to cheat and to steal. He still wants you to be people of integrity. But he also wants you to know that there are people out there that have no integrity, that they will lie and cheat and steal. That's why Jesus said, you need to be as sly as serpents, as innocent as doves. Because the world out there is trying to get ahead any way they possibly can, any means that they possibly can. And if you don't understand the human nature of people around you, you will be engulfed by a culture that will engulf you because you are trying to be sweet and innocent. You are supposed to be sweet and innocent, but don't ever forget that the devil is working in this world, and he is working as deceitfully as he possibly can, and he's trying to bring you down as much as he possibly can. Don't forget that. Other than that, I don't have a lot of help for you. Except this, that God sees every single one of the people that are doing those things, and he sees us when we do it. And someday there will be a judgment. And someday those people will have to account for it with God at the judgment day. So I know that's going to happen. But that's just part of it. So the Gibeonites come and they're lying, outright lying. But I don't think that was enough. No, there was something else. We go to verse 9 where it says, they answered, your servants had come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt. And all that he did to the two kings and the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And the elders and all those living in the country said to us, take provisions for your journey, go and meet them, and say to them, we are your servants, make a treaty with us. We've heard all about you. The news is out. You guys are something cool. God loves you. We want to make a treaty with you because you're something special. Do you hear that? We want to be with you. You're kind of cool. You're the conquering heroes. We want to be a part of that. You're great. They preyed on their pride. Think about it. They were telling Israel all the great things that Israel was doing, and as soon as Israel heard this, it's like, well, yeah, of course. We love it that you like us and you want to come make a treaty with us. Of course we'll make a treaty with us because you are obviously very smart people and you know exactly what's going on. And you want to make a treaty with us, of course we'll make a treaty with you. Even though God said no treaties, they went ahead and made a treaty. Well, they're not really in this land, they're somewhere else. That's what pride does. Pride is a very dangerous thing. And the devil can use pride in our lives to do things that we shouldn't be doing. There's a study out. If you look at brain science and technology and all that, the different levels of the brain, you find out that you have your thinking part of the brain, and then there's the emotional part. When you start to get stressed out, you're no longer using the thinking part, you're using the emotional part. And then when you get really, really, really stressed out, you go to what's called the R complex, which is your reptilian complex, which is the very base core of your brain. And typically in the very base core of your brain, you have two responses to something that happens in your life that is very scary. You'll either fight or you'll flight. And most of you know which you are because you've been in those kind of situations. You're either going to stay there and you're going to fight or you're going to flee. Because you're no longer thinking, you're no longer emotional, you're just doing whatever it takes to survive. And I believe that when people come and they start filling you with stuff that makes you proud and arrogant and you're no longer humble, I think your brain starts going from the thinking part to the emotional part to the R complex part. I think your brain starts shutting down. I think that's what happened to Israel. They came in and said, oh, you're wonderful people. We think you're fantastic. The brain started shutting down, and it's like, oh, of course we're fantastic. How do you stop that? Well, it's an easy fix, and it's one that I highly encourage that you practice, and that is this. When people come to you and they start to tell you about how wonderful you are, you can have two responses. You can say, of course I know how wonderful I am. Thank you for noticing. Finally. Or you can take the opinion, I'm not wonderful, but the God who loves me, the God who created me, he's the wonderful one. You see, if you put the focus and the energy on the God that created you and not on yourself, I don't think that pride can come and take a hold of you as it did with Joshua. Because when someone comes to you and they say, you're a wonderful person, and you back up and you say, it's not me, it's God working in me, then you're putting it on him. You're no longer going from that you know, thinking level of the brain down to that emotional level of the brain, you're thinking again. And you'll be able to spot and see people who are just buttering you up because they want to get whatever they can out of you. And you know those types of situations because all of us have been in those types of situations. That's my advice on that. The third one actually comes in verse 14. The men of Israel sampled their provisions but did not inquire of the Lord. How many times has this happened to us in our world? Because this is so prevalent. The people of Gibeon, they came and they said, don't worry about God, don't worry about this. Just look at the facts that we have in front of you, and the facts show you that we are from a foreign land, so therefore you should make a treaty with us. They didn't even stop to think whether or not they should ask God. They just went by the facts. The problem is facts are developed by people who are sinful in nature. And there are people, this may come as a shock to you, there are people that will doctor facts to make it look the way they want it to look. I have a good pastor friend of mine, and we were talking about this, and I was actually kind of shocked by this, but he has this rosy-eyed glass view of society that you've got people who are all in it for themselves except for scientists. Scientists only look at the facts and only report on the facts, and that's it. So if you've got the little white coat and you run an experiment and the experiment tells you X, that has to be the gospel truth. And I was trying to tell him as polite of a way as possible that the people that are running those scientific experiments are sinful people. And they will do whatever they can to make sure that the outcome of that experiment is in their favor. And they will do that. And he was arguing with me, no, facts are facts. And we had this long argument. But folks, people are sinful, and human nature is sinful. People are trying to get ahead. You're trying to get ahead. I'm trying to get ahead. Everyone's trying to get ahead and trying to twist the facts into the way that is the best possible way to make it look like we're in charge or that we get ahead in life. And scientific people are no different than anybody else. And I, in the engineering field, I actually saw this many times where people would twist the facts to make it look like something that they wanted. People are human nature. What should have they done? They should have inquired of God. You know, if you've got God first, if you inquire with God first, if God is first and central in your life, these things go away. God will inform you through His Holy Spirit, through His Word. He will tell you the facts that He wants you to know. And those facts triumph everything in this world. I know that may sound strange, but there are a lot of things out there that people are telling you that this is the goodness truth. One example of that, there was back in the early part of the 20th century, there were a lot of people going around saying that King David never lived because King David had never, ever been written about other than Holy Scripture. There was no artifacts about King David. There was nothing about King David. That was like the going theory of all the science people. That King David was a fictional thing until, like, in the 70s, they were exploring this thing called Tel Dan, and they opened it up, and they found out that that's all the stuff that King David, and he was a great king, and that he was a very powerful king, and it just absolutely mirrored everything out of Holy Scripture. Science is not an exact thing, and people will twist science any way they can if they're human beings, because all of us will twist things. We all have that human nature. We always want things to go our well. We always want to game the system, and we don't always rely on God. And we're all guilty of this. Now, some of us are more guilty than others, but all of us at some level have that human nature in us, and that human nature would separate us from God because He always tells the truth. He always has integrity. He is always a God that is just and right. And when we are compared to Him, we are completely wrong and could live in shame for the rest of our lives. But He sent His Son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, to redeem us so that we could go before God, clean and perfect people at the end time because of the blood of Jesus. Is Safeway going to be constructed? I don't know. I'm highly cynical. Highly cynical. It's possible. I may come back a year from now and say, I was wrong. They are really. But I do know that the people behind Safeway are sinful human people. They're out for themselves. I'll tell you when Safeway's going to start. When they put the store up and it's profitable for them to have that store, when the economy is right and the times are right and the population is right and everything aligns together to where they're going to make money, that's when they'll build the store. So there you have it, all right? So when that store goes up, they're going to make money on that store. I guarantee you, they're going to make money. That's human nature. That's all of us, human nature. That was the Gibeonites. That was their human nature. And Joshua is fooled by them. But don't you be fooled. And let yourself know that you've been redeemed by a God that loves you, even when you are fooled. In Jesus' name, amen.